Hey guys, hope you're enjoying the podcast. As always, obviously, I'm sure if you're following me on social, you know about this, but if you don't, I am doing Tea with Gary Vee. If you're not following it, you're making a huge mistake. 9 a.m. Eastern, we're doing some incredible stuff. Please check it out. Tea with Gary Vee, live on all my social platforms. Twitter is definitely the place that you can't miss it. In general, I think if you're not following me on Twitter, it's a huge mistake. Gary Vee on Twitter. Check it out.
This is the Gary Vee Audio Experience.
Gary Vee.
Oh, there he
is. What's up?
What's up?
What's good, Lou?
How's it going, my man?
Really well.
Bro, I'm so sad. This is our like actual first time meeting. I feel like we've been told me to hit you up like when I first started music, I feel like, and we've been like friends since then, like online and texting each other, but like we've never gotten to meet. And now this damn
it's a good bridge.
Like, it's so awful.
When it actually happens, it's gonna be such a good hug in real life.
I know. How are you? So, welcome to In My Feels.
Thank you.
We're like a podcast all about just what we're feeling, anything, anxieties, emotions. I wanted to ask you, like off the, just from the start of it, how are you feeling and how's everything going on in your world?
I'm feeling uncomfortably optimistic. And I think that that's like an interesting tone because I don't want to come across tone deaf because in the last, 12 hours, I was born in this former Soviet Union and come from that kind of descent. And, last 12 hours, my parents have told me about two of their, not necessarily best friends, but people they knew from the old country who've literally passed from coronavirus because they were in their 70s and had other complications. And so it feels, for everybody's listening, I don't want to come across awkward or tone deaf because there's so much difficulty going around. However, I have a funny feeling knowing, like this needs to be a transparent show. And like transparently, I'm optimistic as fuck. Like,
stay that way?
I think it's, so there's a lot of things that happen there. One, I think that's DNA. Like I just genuinely think certain people, people are born with certain traits. I think it's parenting. I think my mom definitely instilled an uncomfortable level of self-confidence in me. So I feel like I can. I think I'm an old soul. Like I always hung out with like 90-year-olds. Yeah.
Me too. 12 and hanging out. Yeah. With like 90-year-olds. Yeah. I feel you.
And so it took me a long time, probably with a lot of things that have gone on with my internet popularity led me to like think about my childhood more. And I was like, right. Like I used to go to the playground. Cause I'm an 80s kid. You'd go outside and play. It was different. Right. So you go outside and like, somebody's grandfather would be visiting them and instead of playing basketball with my friends, I'd go sit on the bench and shoot the shit with the grandfather. Like, tell me about the 50s. Like I was very into that. And so the answer to your question is gratitude and perspective. I I've hit you up on DM through the last couple of years. Anytime I see you post something that might make me say, wait a minute, I hope she's not too down because my God, what blessings, what kind of gifts she's been given creatively. She's so fucking young. Fuck those boys, who gives a shit? That's where I go though, Noah. Like I go into like, man, if people could put shit in perspective, like think about this. I can tell you one thing, probably why I'm so optimistic is so many people have gotten a perspective check. Like all of a sudden, you don't give a shit if you like don't have your favorite new outfit or miss that concert. Like when things go basic, like they are now, people go into gratitude. There's somebody who used to complain about the barista putting in the wrong milk in their coffee, who's now got a grandmother on a ventilator. Like shit gets corrected. The shit we cry about gets adjusted. And I would argue the reason I'm optimistic is I think people are gonna be more grateful. I mean, when I think about the youth that's probably listening to this podcast, when you finally get to summer season and you go to a fucking music festival, you're gonna hug your best friend a little tighter. you know, that music on stage is going to sound a little better, right? Mm-hmm. Like that fucking like alcohol you snuck in is going to taste a little better, right? Like it's just going to, you know, I think people are going to be grateful on the back end of this a little bit more. I also think people are being thoughtful. Like it also is connections. Look, you and I, like you said, have been talking for 18 months, I think, on DM, sending love each other's way. And like, hey, you know, obviously we want to meet in person, but like, I never have time. I'm busy as fuck. So
I know we wouldn't have met if had Adam, he had that meeting with you. So the way for everybody listening, the way Gary and I know each other is my manager that I've had and known since he's been my manager since I was 15, family friends since I was 12. He had a meeting with Gary and somehow I came up in the conversation and Adam was just like, I think you really need to get connected with Gary. Like, I just have a feeling he's going to be such a positive light on your life. And like, he has so much advice from you, which at the time was content, 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 like just create, create, create. And that's what we did. I made so much music. I went to the studio all the time. Luke can tell you I have probably 8 albums if I wanted to put them out. And I don't, but we have that. So I created, and you told me, or you told Adam to do that. And I actually, when I do mental health panels and I speak, Gary, and somebody asks me a question that I feel like is out of my knowledge, or it's about, I'm depressed because I want to do this in school, but I don't want to tell my family, or I want to do this, but my family doesn't want to do this. And I kind of sometimes say, honestly, I don't have the answers, but my friend Gary V, go check his page out and hopefully he can help you out with this, because maybe that can be just something he can help you out with a little more, because like that advice is stuff that like I've just like studied, like ever since Adam told me to watch your videos, like I've been one of those people to watch your videos. And whenever I don't really know the answers, I'm a singer, I don't know business, I didn't go to college, I just got my high school diploma and I hopped in the studio, you know? Yep. So, I want to know your thoughts on that after, but I feel like I just wanted you to know, like when I also feel like people come to me and there's this question that like, I don't want to give an answer. I'm just bullshitting, you know?
By the way, no, you'll appreciate this. Me neither. I think one of the reasons so many people, you know, what's going on with me is happening is I stay in my fucking lane too. Like,
and I love it.
You know, like I have, you know, no different than you have the ability to produce incredible music. Like I have the ability to like feel people, but I'm also an entrepreneur. So like, you know, without the entrepreneurial DNA, I probably would have been a great psychologist and would have loved it, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Or an anthropologist, or you know, I if I loved animals a little more and was a little non-entrepreneurial, I'd probably be in the hills of Peru studying like weird goats for 40 years. You know, like I love studying behavior. I appreciate, and again, knowing enough of your fan base of who might be listening to this, I especially gravitate towards 12 to 25 because there's so much insecurity and I'm all about like, fuck that. Like look at it this way, which all of a sudden changes everything. And you know, you can't get that advice a lot of times from your parents or even your older sibling, because you're like, yeah, whatever. You know, like, you know, it just is what it is. Like one day, don't worry about that. One day you'll look back, but you're like, fuck you, mom. Like, you know, that's just where you're at in your head. And that third party voice. And then the other thing is I don't pamper either. You know, like one of the things that I think I have this balance of like honey and candor, right? Like there's a lot of empathy and compassion and sweetness, but there's a lot of like Jersey Big Brother shit that's like, yo, fuck you, stop being a dick.
Which is what I like in your videos. Like I love whenever people come to you and like your tour, did you call it a tour? When you go on, yeah, is it a tour, yeah, for you? Yeah, like, on your tours, I don't, my musical language. But I just love how straight up you are and like how, yeah, open you are about like shit with people, with their parents that they might be dealing with. And Lou, I don't know what you were going to say, but that was something that is a big question people come to me for.
Agreed.
That I didn't really know the answer to, that you kind of taught me, like, you know, it's okay that I don't have the answers, but my friend, right, Gary does. And yep, that's what's so great about like being positive and like friends with people and like actually having good vibes towards somebody is I don't have the answer. So go check my friend out and he'll have the answer. And it's not like this world of like selfishness where I just, you know,
agree. And yes, so I do.
That's where I just like, there was this time whenever Adam showed me like who Gary was and who you were. And I just really like, I don't know. It's like made the biggest impact, I swear. And I was that, I'm only 20, but I've had anxiety and depression and body dysmorphia since I was around 11 or 12. And I kind of made that breakthrough, I would say, around, I don't know, a little after I met Lou, which was what?
We met probably January of last year.
So probably by July of last year. I started having a little bit of a switch up. And of course, I still, you know, I'm an artist. Artists have their
feelings.
Yes. And everybody is entitled to having their anxiety, their depressions.
100%.
It was very hard for me. I had only self-doubt. And I was, I couldn't really look in a mirror. I just didn't have any confidence.
Yeah, I get it. I really get it. And it's like, it's crazy because a lot of times we don't see ourselves the way the outside world sees us, right? Mm-hmm. And it comes from a lot, it's chance. Again, one thing that I always tell people is like, look, some of this is just chance chemical shit. Like, it's just real life. It's just like you're born that quote unquote way. I think on the flip side, it's about pounding your skull with a lot of true practical positivity. Plus, we all grew up differently. Like, you're the younger sister of a child star. Like, who knows what that's doing? But it's definitely doing something different than if it wasn't. And by the way, if it wasn't, that could have been fine too. Like, you know, one of the things I always try to tell people is like that you can't blame your circumstance because you weren't in control. I have a lot of people that tell, like, literally, when I'm on quote unquote tour or when I'm doing my videos or doing Q&A shows, first person calls, mad at their parents for having no money, right? Next person calls, mad at their parents for having too much money. Like, you know, next person calls, parents didn't love them much. Next person calls, mad at their parents loving them too much. Like, you know, there's so many circumstances and you can take any circumstance and see the good or the bad in it. And it becomes a game of life is how you see it. And it becomes a game of people actually caring about you and having those conversations to rewire perspective. And what's crazy is when the breakthrough happens, it happens. Like once you start seeing shit a different way, and it's usually accountability. Noah, the number one thing that leads to happiness is actually accountability. Mm-hmm. Because when you think it's everybody else's fault, you go into victim and you think you're helpless and you think you're fucked. When you're like, you know what? I need to fucking buckle up and I'm being a little lazy here or I'm not being grateful enough for my uncle or whatever it might be. When you start becoming accountable and you start feeling in charge, in control, and shit gets really interesting. Lou, you're going to say something earlier?
No, I was going to tip back to the, you know, my key for happiness is appreciation. And I'm talking like I've dissected appreciation to such a fine nut, like I have water right now. Like, cause I remember,
same,
you know.
Bro, I'm the same way. I so get that, bro. I'm like, oh my God, I woke up and nobody died that I love. Today's the fucking best. Meanwhile, you lose money. Something gets fucked up. And listen, I have 1,000 employees at VaynerMedia and I'm the last line of defense. It's my company. Yeah. I'm the CEO. So every person that has COVID in my company, my problem. The woman that flew in from Singapore when she was 5 months pregnant for a meeting and went into premature labor and has been stuck in America since, like, my problem, right? Like leaky roof in our Chattanooga, Tennessee office, my problem. Like, it's just problems. But if you're grateful, you know how to, you know, in your world, like I watch some of my friends who are the biggest artists in the world and like the tour's not selling as well as they wanted. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you have a fucking tour. you know, like, you know how awesome that is? And I'm with you on that, Lou. Like water is a fucking blessing because I'm a well member for Charity Water and there's an entire fucking continent where people walk 7 miles to get clean water.
Yeah.
And that's where I think right now I've been feeling extremely grateful in that sense. And, you know, ever since like I really met Lou, we've had like some really deep level conversations about like what we're grateful for and stuff. But I think everything that's going on in the world right now, especially like, just like, I feel extra grateful, like what you guys are saying for water, like whenever I'm just driving from my house to my mom's house to go pick up the groceries that got ordered and I see the homeless and I'm like, they're not able to protect themselves from this virus. And I think about the people on other continents that do have to, you know, that aren't able to protect themselves, that aren't in a cleaner environment, that don't get to go home to a home that's just themselves, that don't go to a home period, that there's so much that I also, since I can't change every single thing, I can raise awareness and I can try to help and I can do my part, but that's where I, you know, without gratitude and without being grateful, like I feel like I'm completely helpless to them, you know,
that's
because
right.
I feel like we take such little things for granted. And it's just something that this right now, like especially, like I've just like really opened my eyes to how much like
makes me happy. We have to make compassion and sympathy and empathy and gratitude cool, as cool as going to Coachella and fucking having Yeezys. Like we have to, and that's the legacy that I think, you know. I think that's the legacy of this next generation. They have the potential to take some of these words and genuinely make them. And it is about making them cool. It is about making them cool because that is the framework until you're fucking 30 for almost everybody.
I have a question that I think a lot of my listeners will want to know. And I'm sure you get asked this frequently. And I asked it in the beginning kind of, but I just wanted to like touch further in because this is such a frequent question. Is how does somebody that's dealing with mental health issues that wants to pick a profession that their family doesn't want them to pick, or they want, or they're having anxiety about going to college because they're not going to have friends, or this is like a lot of my big
questions.
I don't have the answer to how do you start that question with your parents that when you have mental health issues or you want to pick a different.
Different
profession, I think, is a big, big issue that a lot of my fans are afraid to go.
I get bombarded with that, especially non-Americans. When you go into India and Asia, like they get so much pressure to be a doctor, lawyer, engineer. Here's my take, and I've seen it play out, and I've spent a lot of time on this issue. I believe that people need to seriously think about the following. You can either appease and make your parents happy in the short term while you're unhappy, and then you're gonna be 41 and resent the living shit out of your parents, and then you're gonna fight your parents, or you can fight your parents now for 24, 36 months and have a great relationship forever. Most kids love their parents subconsciously or consciously so much that they're willing to do something they don't want to do to make their parent happy. It's actually a very sweet thing. There's obviously some kids where their parents are like, if you don't go do this, we won't pay for college. And they're like, oh fuck, what do I do? But a lot
Which
of kids-
Which I had a friend like that growing up. And it was very hard for her.
Yeah, and so like a couple things. One, there's so many ways to play this. Let's talk about the friend who doesn't want to do the thing, but their parents say, if you don't do this thing, we don't pay for college. On some real shit, this is crazy advice. I'm like, cool, take the money. And fucking bullshit. I'm not kidding. That's actually the answer. Like, take the fucking money and college is a fucking vacation to begin with. Let's not get it twisted. Yeah, college agreed. Is a fucking vacation.
I was gonna ask you, what are your thoughts on?
You're talking to a DNF student who barely got out of high school, Noah. Like, okay. I think college work and high school and the way education works in America and a lot of other parts of the world, it works for some, which is amazing. I'm super happy for people that love high school and love going to college and know how to play the game and get A's and B's and get a job. Great. Unfortunately, if you're entrepreneurial or creative, you're completely fucked.
I couldn't handle school. I was homeschooled from the eighth or ninth grade until I got my diploma. And
yeah.
No, I
like consider like taking online classes for fun, like sometimes, like whenever.
Well, because you're interested in it. Because you're interested. Yeah, because you're interested in it.
I was I kind of want to take something like, I don't know, just for fun, like whenever I go on tour, just to keep my brain working. Why not?
100%.
Why not just take a class?
But that's you choosing that you're interested in. Oh, I'm a little bit more interested in balancing my checkbook now. I'm more interested in how to, you know, like yarn work. I'm more interested in architecture than I used to be because I went on tour to Europe and I didn't realize buildings look like this. You're picking, not you've got to fucking hit the, like I had a passion 2 years of language in fucking high school, like to graduate. I'm like, I fucking suck at language. Like, you know, like, so I don't know. I think education fucks with a lot of kids. Almost every grown up who's 45, whether they were successful or not, tells you it didn't fucking matter. Almost all of them.
Yeah.
And I tell kids a couple things. One, it's vacation anyway. So go to college, have the best time ever. Take fucking finance because your parents told you to, mail it in, get D's and F's or C's or whatever the fuck you have to get. And then when you're 22 and still young as fuck, go figure out your life and go have a good time. And people don't think that way. They're like, oh, if I go to college for architecture, I'm going to be an architect. Like it's fucking robotic. No, it's not. Almost nobody does what they do in college. So A, don't make it so heavy. B, if that's not the case and it's more just pressure that they're putting on you, I think it's important to speak, to change the conversation to happiness. Parents are scared. Most parents come from a place of fear. So the advice they give their children is based on defense, not offense. They don't let them chase happiness. They make them chase what they think they're gonna make money in. And it's fucked up and it fucks up a lot of people. And I think kids should either go one of two routes, mail it in and just do it, but don't give a fuck, or have the tough conversation up front. Know that it's gonna be shitty for 24 months, but at least at 35, 32, 28, 26, you're gonna have a great relationship forever, because every kid that does what their parents wanted to and they hate that thing and then they do that for a living always resents their parents and the relationship goes to shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always have I left school when I was 16. I mean, I had jobs since the age of 12. I always had a hustling mentality because of my upbringing. My mom always encouraged me, you know, just make your own money, go out there and do your thing. As long as you can pay your bills, I am good either way, which is an encouragement for, and I was also a middle child too. So the kind of forgotten one, which teaches you, you know, the responsibilities. But I have a spiritual approach now where, you know, back to, you know, in my fields, you know, I firmly believe everything on the inside, emotions, thoughts, all that type of stuff creates your whole outside exterior. That's why I have an innate ability to read people based off of what the things they have around them or the people they have around them. And I'm just bringing a more spiritual approach.
Of course, I get it. It's context.
The context. Yeah.
I so agree with that, Lou. Back to in your fields. I think one thing that people need to think about is getting quiet. One thing that I've noticed, Noah, that a lot of people are struggling with, like if a young guy is making some money, oh, he's an entrepreneur, he's going to be a fucking baller. A young woman's pretty and they're getting positive reinforcement. I've noticed that positive reinforcement becomes a vulnerability to negative reinforcement. One of the things that I, you know, think about a ton is if you're addicted to the positive feedback, you know, the cheering on stage that you feel, I definitely know I feel like a high when I get 10,000 people clapping as I'm talking. People saying you're hot or you're fucking cool or whatever, then you get very vulnerable to when it goes the other way. One of the things that's really worked for me is silence. When somebody says, I mean, if you go on my Instagram account right now, the latest comment is you're the goat. And the next comment is you're full of shit, right? And if neither one of them penetrate you, then you can win. I see a lot of people dismiss people as trolls or haters when they give negative feedback. But when somebody's saying you're fucking epic or pretty or awesome, they love that. That unfortunately makes them vulnerable. To me, it's actually being silent to both and being in your fucking feels, in your own head. You love you for you. You keep it quiet as fuck. That keeps you right in the middle. Never too high, never too low. I've seen that work for a lot of people when they've heard that from me say, fuck, okay, let me not get as high on the positive comments, which has allowed them to combat the negativity. And I've noticed that a lot in high school and social media dynamics. When you actually get to a place when you don't get up on the positive.
I was going to ask, what's your advice for that? For people that aren't as open to the world, like that don't have millions of followers and don't go talk to 10,000s of people, that just are home and going to school and dealing with comments from bullies and everything. How? Because I answered this question
I got one time, but it's kind of nice
to ask somebody else.
Yeah, I got one. Let's start with negative feedback and bullies. This is why I want to make compassion and sympathy and empathy the most powerful words to this next generation. And this is hard. If 14-year-old Sarah and 16-year-old Rick are listening right now, when they think of the person that's fucking with them, making fun of them, spreading rumors, it's hard at that youth to have the compassion, empathy, and sympathy for the person that's fucking shitting on you, but it's the truth. If somebody is a negative person in high school, shitting on people, spreading rumors, bullying, they're the most hurt in the whole fucking high school.
Yeah.
1,000%. They're the
100%. So believe it or not, the way I think you push back on that is actually compassion. It's actually feeling bad for the it girl who's shitting on you because she's actually insecure as fuck. Cool, she had a good little moment and she looks good, but deep down, she's fragile as fuck. And that's why she's manifesting all this negativity.
Yeah.
And when you realize that as the one getting picked on, you actually get happy, not sad. You actually start realizing, and it's your world. Listen, I'm 44, but high school feels like 2 seconds ago. I remember every fucking day of it, right? Like it's your world. Like you're listening to this and you're like, that's a little heady. Like I still got 3 years of this fucking high school shit. But the reality is, again, for little Ricky in fucking high school right now, brother, I'm telling you right now, you know, for Karen right now, sophomore year, like I'm telling you right now on some real shit, that person that's fucking with you is way sadder than you, way sadder.
Yeah.
It may look good. They might have the hot guy boyfriend right now, but on some real shit, they're fucking broken inside.
It's because people love to project the way they feel about themselves on someone else to make 100. Them feel the same. And I think it boils down to, I always tell Noah this, is a section on, you know, uniqueness. Factually, spiritually, there's only one of any of us in the whole entire universe. Every single person on the planet is the most unique essence that has ever existed and has ever going. There's only ever going to be one of you. And until we kind of understand that we are the commanders of our own ship and we need to take control. And I understand, you know, the anxieties and, you know, my head used to feel heavier than my body. I used to, because it was just weighed down with so much shit. And then I started to uncondition the conditioning of everything I've ever been taught and started to realize, again, back to the appreciation, you know, I have a warm bed. I have a roof over my head. I have a beautiful daughter who is 5 months old. There's so many on
my
level.
Goddaughter.
Like,
my
goddaughter. I'm living in a house that I always dreamed about. And you know, by the way,
Lou, to add to everybody's listening, and if you're not as blessed right now, and Lou worked hard to get to this moment, if you're literally listening to this while you're in a shitty fucking room where your fucking parents are fucking throwing punches at each other outside and your fucking sister's anorexic and your brother's fucking coke the fuck out, in that, there's the ability to be appreciative. The fact that you're even, let me start with this, this is very meta. The fact that you're even listening to this because you adore Noah means you're already thoughtful. There's a lot of fucking artists to be following. I pay attention to a ton of shit. The fact that you are listening to this podcast already means you're a more thoughtful kid than the masses. I believe that. I actually believe that. So A, the gratitude of you of wisdom, even though you don't realize it right now, because you chose to follow Noah and chose
Sorry,
to-
Sorry, you're making me laugh. You're just making me smile. Like this is, you're great.
Thank you, Noah. But I actually believe it because I really watch and I really watch like who builds what kind of fan bases off of what. I just know. I know the kid on the other line of this and I'm proud of them. They don't even realize it yet. Their wisdom is real. They gravitated towards you because of what you put out there. I know how that sits in popular culture. I would just tell them that, like, again, to build off of what Lou's saying, you know, when I bought my first car at a garage sale for $500 and I was grateful as fuck. It broke down every other day, but I was grateful. And even though now I can afford any car I want, it was the fact that I was grateful for the $500 car that actually got me to the place of where I can afford anything I wanted. And fuck things, by the way, real quick. The next chapter that we have to push is happiness, not money.
Yeah.
Making $72,000 a year and being happy as fuck is way better than making $800,000 a year and being miserable as shit.
Yeah. It's because people have this notion of, you know, if I reach a certain target, therefore I'm going to be happy. But if you're not never happy happens. Before you reach it, you're not going to be happy when you get it. There's always, and then, see, now I'm so happy. I already know what's instilled in me that makes me happy. And again, like back to the spiritual thing, thoughts, emotions become things. I can surrender. I can sit in my house and surrender my emotions and my thoughts so that people knock on my door and we start working together. Like things like that. That's how much of a playing field I'm trying to get on in terms of almost no mind. Instead of thinking, overthinking shit, unthinking shit. So therefore, I can just completely focus exactly what I'm doing. And this is the teachings that I bring for Noah too is, you know, is we have to start living in the now. We don't have a past or a future. Everything is created now. And I feel like those where the anxieties and the stresses and, you know, even when coming on board with Noah, you know, there's this notion amongst artists that the only way they can create is in pain. And I'm trying to show them you can create in happiness just as successfully.
Yeah.
You'll be happy doing it.
Oh my God. I mean, that's romancing an ideology of like an artist or 10 that somebody likes.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, that's where the good shit comes from. The good shit comes from truth.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, when John Lennon and Yoko did Imagine, that wasn't coming from fucking pain. It's coming from fucking love.
Yeah.
Like it was just true fucking love. And that's why we're singing that fucking song 50 fucking years later. You know what I mean? Like, no, I disagree that it can come from pain. I think pain is a place that people often can get to a place of truth because they're in pain.
Yep.
I think creative comes from truth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have, obviously I'm sure you do, do you have any advice for the LGBTQ community who may come out to their parents and their parents tell them to get out of the house? Because there's a lot of young homeless youth in LA alone, which my sister started a foundation called the Happy Hippie Foundation. And one of the things that we did right before or after Christmas is we went and we got them all hoodies, we got them all sweatpants, we food, had a party, and they all got to come. But it was all mostly LGBTQ community. Mm-hmm. And what's your advice for somebody's parents who's homophobic and just awful as fuck says, get the fuck out of our house. What do you do when you're starting from the ground up and you're a young kid and you just bared your heart out to your parents and they just shoved you out the door? Where do you start?
That's A. Recognize that it's allowed for that to be painful. Like, you know, every human that is, we're animals, like being rejected by your parents because of your truth is devastating based on a bullshit fucking ideology that they grew up with. You know, I hate when parents use things like, I didn't grow up with this, fucking adjust, fuck you. Like, you know, but A, recognize it's okay to be hurt. B, recognize that the world is filled with love. Thank God, back to gratitude. Thank God your sexual preferences are far more macro society-wise accepted today. If you were born 100 years ago, your entire life would have been a lie. Your entire life would have been a lie. You would have been in pain until the day you died. You just started the process of pure happiness. Even though you just hit the lowest point of your parent situation, you're about to find your community. You're about to find your friends. You're about to find a new family. And oh, by the way, for 80% of you, your parents are gonna come around too. It might not be tomorrow. It might not be 6 months from now. So for eight, you know, the reality is like, you actually have just been through the hardest part. Actually every day, if you're listening right now and this happened to you, every day forward is gonna be better than the last day because you're past the toughest part, which is an ultimate animal devastation, which is rejection from your parents. 80% of you are gonna get them back and they're gonna apologize. So that's gonna be enjoyable. And listen, for 20%, you know, that's just life. Like sometimes things don't work out the way we want, but we get to choose our paths going forward. We don't choose our parents. We get to choose a ton. And it hurts, it's the worst. And nobody should ever say it doesn't matter, or oh, you can fix, like, just live, but recognize you're in control. Go find your love instead of dwelling that you've lost it in the short term from somewhere you looked for it.
Right.
And by the way, that's very important. That love thing is important for a lot of people right now who also, there's a subsection of your community that's listening right now that's in that world. The far majority of your community is definitely going to resonate with the next part, which is somebody breaking up with them and breaking their heart. Right.
So all right. So give me the tea, Gary.
We've all been there.
I'm giving it to you.
How do you mend somebody breaking up? Tell me.
It comes from desperately understanding how lucky you are that it happened now. I'm not kidding, Noah. Like, if you actually understand, and listen, it fucking hurts, especially when it's the first time, like all that shit. The first time you're deeply, deeply in love, like not kind of, sort of, like on some fun shit, but like deep, that one hurts like crazy. It happens. It's real. But A, recognizing, oh my God, this person didn't feel the thing they needed to feel to spend the rest of their life with me, even though that hurts. A, that has nothing to do with you, which is completely the counter to what everybody does. Everybody self-reflects. If I was skinnier, if I had bigger boobs, if I made more money, if I was on the football team, like everyone goes immediately into their self without realizing it's 100% the other person, not 99. And that there are billions of examples of people that got broken up with who then got much better, much happier, much deeper love from the third relationship after that. So it's really taking the perspective that when broken up with, it is 0.0 on you. Now look, you might be out of control and like drink too much or so insecure that you like pressured the person out of the relationship because every time they even talked to somebody in the opposite sex, you went on some flip shit. Like, of course there's accountability, but it's a great time to self-reflect on, did you come with positivity and love and value, or were you being selfish and insecure? And it's a great opportunity to say, look, this wasn't meant to be. And deploying optimism, actual optimism, literally saying, fuck, even though she was so hot and so nice, the next, eventually I'm gonna get somebody better, or whatever it may be. Like, I hate when, oh God, I get these DMs all day, but I'll never get anybody better. I'm like, there's 8 fucking billion people in the world. I promise you, Ricky Thompson, on your high school football team, is not the hottest, coolest dude you'll ever meet. You're fucking 16, you know? And so like really getting people into the proper perspective and really not making it about self-dwelling and beating themselves up, but realizing it's bigger than that is a huge win, I promise.
Absolutely. And back to your point, Gary, of, you know, living your absolute truth. I know a previous relationship of mine, I would not live as myself. And then it would create a domino effect of, you know, when you try to live yourself, then there's these conflicts. So I feel like now, you know, with my wife now, we live exactly as who we are. And we've been together 10 years and we're happier than ever. You know,
they're the best.
We're growing.
Walk in their house and it's like balance. It's just because
our energies are growing together. Because you know, your energy can repel. It's like family members that you don't like. The only reason why you still speak to them is because of the title of the family member. So again, if they weren't linked to you by family, they wouldn't be in your life, you know, universally. But again, you know, we have to realize why are we here? We're here to feel physical things. We're here to feel love and pain and happiness and sadness. And the difference is we fight against it. We don't embrace it. We don't feel it as we should, and that's what I do now. If I'm feeling upset, I'm like, oh shit, I'm feeling upset. I understand the feeling of it, and then I turn it into a positive. Why do I feel upset? And I question it so much that it goes away.
I love it, Lou. On that point, I think that's. I hope everybody rewinds that part and listens one more time to Lou, because that's exactly right. And unfortunately, I have to go and FaceTime somebody right now in 2 minutes. But I want to say this one thing that it just hit me during this talk. First of all, I fucking loved this interview, and I think a lot of kids are going to benefit from it.
Thank you for being on the show, first of all.
This is a big one for me, and I haven't said it in a long time. It's something I said to my friend years ago, and it completely fucking changed his life. And I'm so pumped I remembered, and you two have inspired me to go there mentally. Listen to me, everybody listen to me. Please Do not spend time with people that don't make you feel good. I'm telling you right now, if you're laying in bed right now listening to this, your best friend, your boyfriend, I'm telling you right now, cutting people out of your life who do not make you feel good. And when I say good, I mean safe. 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 You know what Lou was just talking about? He feels safe being his full self with his wife. My friend, safe. Not he takes you to the best fucking parties and you feel fucking A-list. That's not good. That's fake good.
1,000%.
Not they compliment you. That's fake good. I mean safe. Don't make jokes behind your back. When they talk to their boys about you, it's respectful. When your girlfriend, she doesn't make you feel like if you don't buy her shit, she's gonna break up with you. I don't mean fucking fake. I mean fucking real shit, real good. And real good comes safe. For a lot of you, it's time for you to go back to your best friend from junior high. They might not be the coolest kid in high school, but you felt safe when you hung out with them. For a lot of you, it's time to call an old friend because they felt safe. We're all sitting around in our homes right now. I don't know when you guys are airing this, but I'm sure Corona's still gonna be going on. Go to your address book right now and go from A to Z and look at every name and every name that made you feel safe, safe. I want you to text them and say, I miss you, let's connect. Safety is happiness.
I love that.
Bro, I'm literally tearing up. So let's end on that note. You can go to your FaceTime. I love you guys.
Thank you so much, man. Thank you.
Thank you for being on In My Feels. I'll talk to you soon.
See you.
Love you, Lou.
Love you. Bye.
All right, episode's over. Please leave a review and subscribe up on Apple. It would mean a lot to me. Thank you very much.
Hey, podcast. Joe from Team Gary here. Today's highlighted review is The Most Important Podcast by Russell McDonald. If you ever find yourself unfocused or don't know how to move forward, you can get around that by listening to this daily podcast first thing in your morning. This is a great way to start your day. Thanks to Russell McDonald. Keep those reviews coming. We could highlight yours next.